Heart failure, open heart surgery, or heart attack, when you choose Ingham.
Ingham brings nationally recognized award-winning cardiac care right to your own hometown, with treatment options for every heart, for every condition.
At Ingham, we're always a heartbeat ahead.
Ingham Regional Medical Center. Why go anywhere else? Better doctors, better care. A McLaren Health Service.
Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, and this must mean high school football season is right around the corner, in this case, right around the corner here on Cavanaugh Street with Lansing Everett. And that is Lansing State Journal prep editor Jeff Kimmerly. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
Just fine. It's that time of year again, and I know you've been busy.
Yeah, the last 2 weeks have been basically me locked down to my desk. But thankfully, that section came out today, and I think a lot of people are enjoying it. At least I hope they are. And, you know, we can move on to the actual game starting up in 2 days.
Well, let's talk about the 2010 prep football preview. And every year you have a theme. Tell our listeners, those who have not seen this issue, what it's all about.
Well, we tried to do something a little bit different, kind of a spin-off of kind of the sabermetrics, as they call them, with like Moneyball and things like that, and something that ESPN did with college football programs. We tried to create a, I guess you'd call it a metric or an equation to measure how successful our 43 programs have been against each other over the last 35 years, because 35 years ago is when the MHSAA started the playoffs. And it's also the 10-year anniversary of Grand Ledge winning the area's last state title. So, you know, that's been a long time, I think, for a state championship. And since that is the greatest measurement of a team's success, we figured we'd come up with another way to kind of measure things. So Denny Schwarz, one of our guys here, and I created this equation, taking into account basically everything you could to measure how successful a high school team has been, winning percentage, league championships, league runner-ups, every kind of playoff win, every kind of championship. And what you ended up with was what we had today, a ranking of all 43 of our schools. We did a little bit on the, we did a little bit more on the top three. We did a little bit less, but still a decent amount on the top 10. And then on every team, on their team page in the section, we gave a brief rundown of what their last 35 years has looked like, including their playoff bursts, their league titles, and a couple extra points on just some of the better things that they've had, you know, in their, let's call it the modern history, I guess.
Mm-hmm. The dominant programs, I think we know the ones that have wound up in state championships and have won their league, in many cases won 100 games over a decade. Were there any surprises for you, Jeff?
You know, I knew Okemos, because of their success in the 80s and the early 90s, would be up there. I didn't realize that it would be enough to carry them, you know, into our top five. But, you know, a lot of people are going to say, well, they played in the Capital Circuit. They were a Class A school beating up on Class B schools. And to a degree, that's correct. But we also did, you know, take that into account as well. We gave different leagues different values. The bottom line is Okemos won that league 15 times, which is tied for first. Right. In the area, and had two state runner-up finishes, and that's, you know, more than a lot of schools had. You know, that one would be the major surprise. You know, a lot of these other ones, though, are the schools we've been talking about for a lot of years. I think Lansing Catholic at 13 might surprise some people, but they might not remember that the 80s were such a dominant era for them.
Right, right. What about Hazlitt and DeWitt, great success of late? Of course, Sexton and Holt and other programs. East Lansing, of course, had a very dominant run, too.
Yeah, you know, I really thought East Lansing would end up our number one. And, you know, I was surprised, to be honest, that it was Fowler. You know, obviously they've done a lot over the last three-plus decades and won the most state titles, had the most perfect seasons. So, you know, I knew they'd be up there. I didn't necessarily expect them to be the top one. I really thought it would be East Lansing. But, you know, when you look at it, those two and DeWitt, especially with what DeWitt did over the last decade, you know, winning 102 games, it makes sense that those are our top three. Hazlitt's in that mix. They've been to the state championship game twice. Fulton, same thing. They've won one and they finished second one. So really, to make this list, to be a top team, I think all of these guys, except for, you know, Catholic at 13, that our top nine have all been to the Silver Dome or Ford Field once. Sexton hasn't, and they're a number 10 team, but they've obviously won a lot of other things over the years.
Right.
But really, that championship, you know, Portland St. Patrick, for example, they've only been to the playoffs during the 90s, but they have a state title and a couple of runner-up finishes. So those championships obviously weighed pretty heavily in what we did.
When you think about Fowler and, of course, all the great success with Steve Spicer and then East Lansing and the Jeff Smith era and Okemos with Keith Vralik, all those teams' success, those programs have not been dominant the last couple of years. Does this signal a changing of the guard or just a brief down period in what's inevitably cyclical?
You know, I want to hope that it's cyclical. I think if you look at every one of these programs, there's a great coach at all of them that led them to the success. You mentioned Jeff Smith. You mentioned, well, with Fowler, it's obviously Spicer and Neil Hoffman. DeWitt, you've got Zimmerman, you had Thornton before that.
Right.
All these guys, Maple Valley, Gunther Mittelstadt, all these guys had a coach that made these communities, football communities, or took football communities and made them, you know, took that and took it to the next level and took advantage of that. I think most of these places in our top 10 are still football communities. I think, you know, Okemos lately arguably hasn't been as enthusiastic about football, but I think it's still there. You know, and I want to believe it's cyclical. I mean, Okemos still has been to the playoffs twice in the last decade, and, you know, there's still talented athletes out there. It's just a matter of things rolling back. The programs that do it every year, like in East Lansing, which, you know, missed the playoffs last year but made it 3 years prior, those are the programs that really do have something special going. But it's also something I think a lot of these other ones can get back.
Something else in this year's prep football preview I thought very interesting, the all-decade team. How difficult was that to pick?
You know, it was very difficult. The good news is we presented it to our readers and ask them for assistance. I think, you know, the ones that haven't checked out our Get Prep blog at LSJ.com, probably hopefully now will start, because I think, you know, this is something a lot more people could have gotten involved in. I think we did it for every, we've done it for every sport so far. Well, every sport that we do, we put it on our blog first, and we introduced candidates, and we said, you know, here's who we're looking at, please chime in. And we've printed the first five. I believe they're all spring sports every Monday, except for this Monday because we're just so stuck in football mode. And we've really taken into account the readers' input on those things. Football was the last sport we did, and we did a position group a day, I believe between Christmas and, like, January 3rd or 4th or something like that. People chimed in, and you know, I mean, these are people that went out and watched these games. I took their input into account for sure, and, you know, what we ended up with, I think that's a pretty darn good team.
Yeah, you'd like to coach that team, wouldn't you?
It wouldn't be too tough. That's for sure. You could do a couple interesting things.
Yeah, you could celebrate after. That's what you could do.
I think Rob Zimmerman being our coach would probably really take advantage of some of that talent, especially in the backfield. Yeah. So,
let's talk a little bit about this season coming up. And, of course, we're two nights away in terms of varsity play, and then next week we get a lot of Thursday games. But in terms of the forecast, teams to beat, I have seen some widely differing viewpoints about some of these teams, and Holt has been ranked as high as third or fourth in the state in some evaluations, and then here, based on the coaches' predictions, they're picked third in the CAC Blue.
Yeah, and the surprising thing about that was the Eastern you know, I don't want to call it hype. I think it's the attention Eastern's getting now. I think people are expecting big things there. And Eastern got multiple first-place votes from the coaches. They got a second-place vote. And that's how they ended up, you know, ahead of Holt. I think people with Holt, the concern there is replacing their skill position guys. But, you know, Holt seems to replace everybody every year, you know, regardless. So I think you'll probably see them finish higher than third in that league, although I personally also like Grand Ledge quite a bit. You know, Sexton and Mason, St. John's, those three continue to duke it out in the red every year. I don't think this year will be any different, especially with Sexton leaving after this year. I think they'll be, you know, looking forward to getting one more turn against the big reds. You know, I think the gold is the one that's really going to be interesting. You know, obviously Hazlitt and the Free Press was ranked very high.
Yeah.
I think 18th best team regardless of division.
That surprise you? I guess I wasn't anticipating that.
You know, I was expecting Hazlitt to. I mean, I am expecting Hazlitt to have a solid year. They return, you know, almost all of their starters. But by the same token, every team in this area seems to return a ton of starters. East Lansing has 15 starters back.
Right. And that East Lansing Hazlitt game Friday night is going to be very revealing and crushing for one of those programs.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, Hazlitt could have an excellent season, or they could lose on opening night and to DeWitt 2 weeks later. It's just, it's going to be that kind of year where there are so many teams that have so many guys back. I don't want to use the word parity necessarily because that's the thing about high school football season. You don't really entirely know what's going to happen until the games start. But, it did surprise me a little bit, but I think that league as a whole, you throw Fowlerville in there, no one's going to talk about Fowlerville, and Fowlerville has a ton of guys back who are very good. They could end up being the ones on the top of that when this is over.
When we talk about players to watch, and there are a lot of outstanding individuals, but a lot of attention for Anaji Miller, the running back from Sexton, who has already committed to Michigan State. And I went to a Holt game last year, and I swear, Jeff, I heard Mike Smith's name 25 times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he is the next in a long line, it probably started before these guys, but the first guys of my era being here, Kevin Allen,
right.
Keith Lane,
right.
Moving into the Mitch Zajac portion of the show, and then Mike Smith is the next great linebacker there. He led their team in tackles last year. He's all over the place, and he's one of those guys you heard about, as he was coming up as a freshman, and obviously as a sophomore, he was on varsity. So he's excellent. He is going to be very important for them because defense is really where they have some veterans right now, and the offense needs a little bit of time to catch up and get some experience. Smith and the defense, especially because they have Rockford week two as well, they're going to really have to come through quickly.
Compelling storyline or anything that we should watch other than teams and individuals this year?
I think we have this league reshuffling going on after this, so I think people will kind of be looking toward that a little bit. I think the compelling storyline is starting to become, why has it been so long since we had a state champion from Mid-Michigan?
Right.
A lot of things go into that, and somebody asked me why that is a couple days ago, and I don't really have a good answer. I think a lot of it's luck. I think a lot of it is the fact that, West Michigan is dominating with a lot of programs that aren't really good at basketball, for example, but they dump everything into football. A lot of it is just, cyclical as well. But I think that's going to be a storyline. I think, there's this 10-year drought going from an area of the state that produces very good high school teams and players. And I think sooner or later people are going to be wondering what's going on there and who's going to break that drought.
Well, which team would you say, if any, is most likely to break through and maybe end that streak this year?
There's some interesting possibilities in Division IV. Williamston brings most of their team back. They have to replace Reggie Duncan. He ran for, I think, 1,300 yards last year, and
right.
Obviously that's not easy, but they can do it. They've got some guys, and they return their skill guys. They've got a huge line. They've got at least one Division I offensive tackle, Ethan Worth, who's always already committed to Toledo. They might have another one there as well. So they should be very good. And last year they lost to the eventual state champion Marshall in overtime in week two of the playoffs. So, they feel like that championship was theirs potentially. A lot of attention is going to be around them. But by the same token, Portland won their league last year.
Right.
Portland could win that league again. So you have two good teams. Add on top of that the fact that Sexton, 25 kids smaller than last year in terms
right.
of enrollment. They should be Division IV. They were the smallest team in the Division III playoffs last year.
Right.
You throw Sexton in Division IV, there's such a difference, and I know you've seen this, Jack,
yeah.
between Division III and Division IV.
Yes.
Division III might be the toughest division in the state a lot of years. Division IV, it's respectable. A champion there is a champion in anything else, but Division IV is not as tough as Division III. Throw a Sexton in there. Watch out.
Yeah, I heard they're at 830, Jeff. And I think that would definitely put them at Division IV. Someone told me that depending on what would happen, they might be surprised. But at Division IV, I really like their chances to make some noise.
Well, all the numbers now are really hard to read, and that's right. The thing. You know, usually you can predict who's going to be in what division and things of that nature, but taking Olivet, for example, Olivet is Class B this year with 481 students. 481 students, really, I mean, that's probably about 20 shy of what used to be close to be. Class A now, I think, is down into the 980s, mm-hmm. which, you know, in the past, schools with, you know, 1,013 or whatever would be on the line.
Right.
So, you know, obviously people leaving the state and things like that, you know, come into play, oddly enough, in high school football. And it'll be interesting to see where some of these people fall because, you know, it's going to be different. And last year we saw a little bit of that already.
Well, some great matchups in week one. It talked about East Lansing at Hazlet, Eastern and DeWitt. And we've got Holt and Sexton. Where are you going to be for week one?
You know, I think I'm going to go to Holt Sexton. It's really hard for me to pass up East Lansing Hazlet just because I think you're right. I think it's going to be a great game and a tragic loss for one of those teams because there's so much hype between, you know, those two schools. But Holt Sexton, I want to see what Anijah Miller does against Holt. I want to see if Holt's, you know, immediately for real already again. Right. And, I'm really interested. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I'm sure we'll see you along the high school trail, and we'll talk to you again during the season.
Definitely. We'll see you soon, Jack.
All right. Invite everyone to pick up a copy of the Prep Football Preview, or you can go to LansingStateJournal.com, and you can see it there as well. We'll be right back with our final segment. Jack and Scott, Ebling and you, 1320 WILS.
Here's your updated Lansing area forecast from more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Overnight tonight, partly cloudy and breezy with a low around 47. For your Thursday, partly sunny with a high around 73. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 47. Here's your 1320 WILS Sports. The Tigers' winning streak was snapped today as they lost at home to the Kansas City Royals 4-3 in 12 innings. Kansas City's Willie Bloomquist hit a home run.